Well, greetings, everybody, and welcome to Monday at Basic Gospel with Bob Christopher and Richard Pfeiffer. I'm Bob Davis, and if it's the top of the hour, 3 Central Time, you're hearing Basic Gospel Live, and we'd like to hear from you. The toll-free number, 844-322-2742, is good in the U.S. and Canada, and the lines are wide open right now, 844-322-2742. It's Basic Gospel, and here's Bob Christopher.
Well, thanks, Bob. You know, as we start this new year, many are starting on a new Bible reading plan, and that's fantastic. Yep. I think the more we can read the Bible, the better off we are. But oftentimes we read it with wrong attitudes. We're looking for things in there that the Bible really isn't going to give us. And so we walk away from it. We just quit studying it because the book is just too hard to understand. That's what so many people are concluding about the Bible. Well, the Bible is hard to understand if you're trying to figure it out by your own understanding. It's not a human book. It's a supernatural book, and the meaning of it needs to be revealed to us supernaturally. Now, Peter talked about that in his second letter. He said, "For we did not follow cleverly devised myths when we made known to you the power and coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but we were eyewitnesses of his majesty. For when he received honor and glory from God the Father, and the voice was borne to him by the majestic glory, 'This is my beloved Son, with whom I am well pleased.'" He's talking about the transfiguration.
Yes.
So Jesus took Peter, James, and John up on a mountain with him just outside of the city of Nazareth, and he was transformed. And in that transformation, a voice from heaven was heard.
Right.
Peter saw Jesus in his transformed state, and he's like, "Oh, let me go make you a tent," and all this. And he was just rambling like Peter normally did. And as if Peter's voice wasn't even being heard, the voice of God the Father just drowned it out. God the Father just started speaking. "This is my beloved Son, in whom I'm well pleased. Listen to him." So Peter was an eyewitness to that. He saw the glory of Jesus Christ right there on top of that mountain. And so he said, "We ourselves heard this very voice born from heaven, for we were with him on the holy mountain. And we have something more sure, the prophetic word, to which you will do well to pay attention as to a lamp shining in a dark place until the day dawns and the morning sun star rises in your hearts." So he's saying, we were there, we were on that mountain, but there's something even more sure, and that is the prophetic word. This prophetic word, the Old Testament, has been proclaiming the name of Jesus all along. We just were eyewitnesses to this special event, and in our hearts and minds, that made the prophetic word even more clear to us as to what it meant. And so he says, "Knowing this, first of all, that no prophecy of Scripture comes from someone's own interpretation." So this Bible, the stories of the Bible, the interpretations of the Bible, they don't come from committee meetings. It's not a group of theologians that gather together and say, "This is what this means," or "This is the story." No, "For no prophecy was ever produced by the will of man, but men spoke from God as they were carried along by the Holy Spirit." So this book is supernatural. It is God's words being spoken through man, through men, specific men, as they were carried along by the Holy Spirit. Paul put it this way in his letter to Timothy, his second letter to Timothy, "All of Scripture is God-breathed," or inspired by God. So what we hold in our hands is not the word of men. It's not stories that men have created out of their own imagination or out of their own wills. This is the story God has put forth about his Son, Jesus Christ, and he has ensured the integrity of it by sending the Holy Spirit to move these men and actually to pin down the very words of God. A powerful, powerful truth, isn't it, Richard?
Oh, it sure is. And notice how Peter puts together the things we were talking about last week. This is about Jesus. He's the reason it's made more certain. It's led by the Holy Spirit. The only way this could possibly happen is the Holy Spirit. But because Jesus is alive now, and he doesn't say this directly, but the reason this was made more sure in Jesus is because he raised from the dead. It wasn't just that he died for us, but he raised back from the dead. Right. The gospel became real. The Holy Spirit was given. And here it is. This isn't a myth. It wasn't cleverly devised. It wasn't done in any way that we normally do things as humans. The turn of a phrase, the just the right example given right here so people, you know, think that you're smart. That's not how this was done at all. God said, I want this story to be made clear. He moved the Old Testament writers along the path. Jesus comes, confirms it all, raises back to life. The Holy Spirit is given to the apostles so that they can carry the story forward. And we have that Holy Spirit living in us explaining what this means.
Right.
He captures the whole thing.
Right. So the Old Testament is setting the stage.
Yeah.
It's preparation. It's all of the behind-the-scenes work. And with different prophets coming forward and saying, hey, at a time in the future. Mm-hmm. So at a time in the future, there was going to be a new covenant between God and man. Jesus
yes.
Christ was going to usher that in. At a time in the future, a prophet would rise and he would have the words of eternal life. At a time in the future, someone is going to sit on the king or the throne of David forever.
Yes.
A time in the future, there's going to be a new priest, not out of the bloodline of Levi, but out of the bloodline of Judah, and he is going to be your priest forever. And we see all of that in the Old Testament. So it is a book of preparation.
Yes.
And then the Messiah comes, and we see that in the Gospels. He's here. We get to experience an encounter, and those that were with him became eyewitnesses. And then they write these letters. Paul writing all of his letters, Peter writing his letters, John writing his letters, James, Jude, all of those letters that make up the rest of the New Testament are an explanation. They tell us that, yes, indeed, Jesus was the one. He fulfilled all of the things that was written about him. And yes, indeed, he has ushered in a new covenant. And yes, indeed, through faith in him, you are marked out as one of his own. You are made alive together with him, declared righteous, and are going to be with him in glory. That is the story of the Bible. It is a story that is supernatural in origin, and it can only be understood in supernatural means. That's why we need the teacher, the Holy Spirit, to reveal the meaning, to take the things of the Lord Jesus and to make them known unto us.
Amen, brother. This is Basic Gospel, everybody, and that's the good news, the kind of good news that you hear every day on this broadcast. We're glad you're with us today. Bob Christopher, Richard Piper, my name is Bob Davis. 844-322-2742. If you're hearing this broadcast during the first half of the 3 p.m. Central Time hour, you're hearing it live, and we'd love to hear from you. We had several calls that came in over the weekend, and we'll get to those as well, but we would like to hear from you live if you're hearing the live broadcast. 844-322-2742. Bob and Richard have collaborated on a phenomenal resource that we're making available to ministry supporters in the month of January. It tells the story of real hope and shares the truth that lasting change is found only in our Lord Jesus Christ. It's a 14-CD series that's all yours. That's the name of it. Request your copy when you give to support Basic Gospel in this particular month, January. Click donate at basicgospel.net, and of course in Canada, donate at basicgospel.net/Canada. You can also donate through the Basic Gospel app and through PayPal. We'd love for you to partnership with us in this message of grace in the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, again, it is Basic Gospel, and we had this call that came in off hours. Let's listen.
Yes, thank you. This is Odell from Las Vegas, Nevada. So I'd like to know the modern name of the city where David sent Uriah, and he was killed there after David had the affair with Bathsheba. The second question is the city where the Temple of Dagon, that Samson pulled the pillars down and destroyed the city, the modern-day name of the location where that is. Listen to you guys all the time. Love you. God bless you, and appreciate the help with these two questions. Thank you. God bless you.
Good to be heard in Las Vegas.
Yes, indeed. Odell, thanks for asking those two. And Richard, you've actually done the research on this particular question. So where did David send Uriah, and where does that where is it on a modern day map? And so the same with Samson.
Okay. This is the stuff that just gets my juices flowing. I love digging around and finding the historical references and all of that. These two, thankfully, are fairly easy to follow through. If you're reading the story of David and Bathsheba, and what it says is that David sent the army to lay siege to the city of Rabbah, R-A-B-B-A-H, and they eventually won that battle and all of that, but he sent Uriah up there, and it's just hateful. I mean, he told his lead general, I want Uriah to be right up there in the hottest part of the fight, and when the fight comes to him, I want you to withdraw from him. So he's left alone and is killed. And then you can go back, of course, and finish the battle. And that's what happened. So David had him murdered. Well, the town of Rabbah was in the area of where the Ammonites live. Well, who were the Ammonites? The Ammonites were the result of what happened with Lot and his youngest daughter after the destruction of Sodom and Gomorrah. Lot's two daughters thought that, oh my goodness, our bloodline is done. We'd better get dad drunk and have children by him. And sure enough, they did. The youngest daughter's son was Ammon, and the older daughter's son was Moab. Well, you've heard of Moab and the Moabites. These were the Ammonites, and they were indeed a major country. Well, the fact that it's called Ammonites should give you a clue as to where that is today.
Right.
The city of Rabbah was actually called Rabbah of Ammon, and they shortened it eventually to Ammon, and it's now the city of Ammon, Jordan. And you can actually go online and see the fortifications, some of which existed way back then. So this city has been continuously populated at one extent or another for thousands of years, one of the oldest cities in the Middle East. So Rabbah is the same city as Ammon, Jordan. The other story is, where did Samson tear down the Temple of Dagon? Well, Samson was dealing with the Philistines, and they had picked up this god Dagon. They had five major cities. I won't name them all, but in two of these cities, they had major temples to this god Dagon. One of those cities was Gaza. We've all heard of Gaza.
Sure.
It has been continuously lived in for thousands of years. And when Samson was, when his eyes were poked out and his hair was cut and he was made a slave of the Philistines, they did that in Gaza. Even though he wasn't from Gaza, they had taken him there because, you know, that's where he went to see Delilah. And when, you know, time had passed and his hair was growing back, and he asked, you know, God, let me do one more thing for you. And the Philistines brought him to this temple, and God gave him the strength to tear down the temple. Mm-hmm. The city of Gaza is still there. It has been overrun hundreds of times over the years, and there is a place in the city. It's the highest part of even the modern-day city, and the name of that is Tel Harub. And the problem is they haven't been able to excavate Tel Harub completely. Not much at all, because this whole city is built on top of it. But that's where that temple was underneath that, what is now a mountain, down several layers back hundreds and thousands of years ago. And and one of the amazing things about these kinds of stories is when you look them up, you discover that early on, there was all kinds of criticism leveled at the Bible that couldn't possibly be true. And then the archaeologists start digging holes in the ground, and they discover that all of this stuff is absolutely true, just like the Bible says it.
That's a great point about archaeology, about science, about all the things that man is doing to try to uncover, to figure out. Eventually, it's all going to point to the Bible, the truth of the Bible. Eventually, it's all going to point back to Jesus. Eventually, it's all going to be the evidence, just even more evidence that what God has already declared about himself and the person of Jesus Christ is absolutely true. So we don't need to fear any of those things, archaeology or science. They're all going to prove the Bible to
be true. There are things we don't know,
but
there are things we do, and they've always proved out in the long run.
Well, Odell, you provoked a great conversation, so thank you for contacting us.
Yes,
Bob?
Indeed. Well, Morgan is watching us on YouTube, has a very interesting question. If someone says they will rape, can they be forgiven as and everyone else, or can you say anything about rape in the Bible? And certainly the Old Testament is filled with cases where women were raped and what happened, and God did not take that lightly.
No.
He never takes lightly when a female is abused, and you know, all the law, everything protected women in that society, which made the nation of Israel unique in all other nations. It actually lifted women to a place that was equal with men, exactly how God created male and female to begin with. So that he takes that very seriously. And back in the Old Testament, death, there were other things. There are quite a number of passages that deal with it. But the real question, can someone be forgiven if they've done that? And the answer is yes, forgiveness is there. The only sin that is unforgivable is the rejection of Christ. But here's the point. Forgiveness is in Christ Jesus.
Yes. Yeah.
It's not outside of Christ Jesus. There's a great illustration. You have a pen, and we look at that and think that's forgiveness. And that's what we want. That's what all of us want, is this pen of forgiveness. But as far as the Bible is concerned, as far as the gospel is concerned, this pen is in the Bible.
Right.
And let this Bible be Christ. So where is forgiveness? It's in the book.
In him.
Well, it's in Jesus.
Yes.
That is the story of the gospel. So you can't get forgiveness outside of Christ. So forgiveness comes in receiving Jesus. When you receive Jesus, you get forgiveness. Now, if you're just looking for forgiveness, if that's all you want, then you can't find it outside of Christ.
Correct.
You may find ways to assuage a guilty conscience. You may find ways to deal with something horrific that you've done in your life, but it's not forgiveness that comes through faith in Jesus Christ. So forgiveness is available. It's available in Jesus. So the real issue is the fact that we're dead in sin and need life. And when we come to Christ for life and we receive his life, in that life we receive forgiveness. So has Jesus died for all sins? Has he taken the punishment for all sins? Absolutely. But now he stands at the door of every person's heart, and he's knocking. And when we receive him, when we open up that door and simply receive him, then the forgiveness that he provided 2,000 years ago becomes ours. So it's a disturbing question, a very disturbing question that someone would ask that. But I hope we'll see that there's an answer in the fact that God has condemned sin and sinful man. He takes all sin seriously,
yes,
so seriously that Jesus died for it. And there's no better way to see the seriousness of sin than to look at the cross of Jesus Christ. So if that's a thought of yours, or you have a friend that that's a thought of theirs, tell them to look at the cross of Jesus to see how horrific such an act would be. So horrific that Jesus the Son would die for that act. I mean, we have to see it for what it is. This isn't just a little thing. And it's sin because it violates, it does harm. And boy, anybody that engages that is going to leave an emotional scar that a female is going to have to carry with them for the rest of their lives. They're going to have moments where they don't feel worthy of any type of love. They're going to have moments where their self-worth is low could be, all because somebody chose to act to gratify their own stupid desires, and not even considering another human being.
Yeah.
That's what sin is all about. And yet God looked at it, and he sent Jesus to die. And he bled and died, for goodness sakes, people.
Yeah.
Let's realize what Christ did so that in him we can have life. Oh, we shouldn't be asking these kind of things. Is there forgiveness if? Why would you even want to go down that path? Man, look to Jesus. Be lifted up in such a way that you receive life and can be set free from sin and death. It's all about him, and it's only in him that we can have forgiveness of sins.
Such an important question, and such a wonderful answer. I don't know how it could be any clearer. So, Morgan, thank you for that question. Another question we really need to get to before we close today's broadcast, from an anonymous writer. It is a difficult time for me. I had considered God an enemy. Am I eternally condemned to damnation?
We all consider ourselves enemies of God. Paul talked about that in Colossians. He said, we were alienated and enemies in our mind because of our evil behavior. That's just what sin, that's the narrative, that's the story our own sin has been telling us about God all along.
Yeah,
He hates us. He's our enemy. But the cross, again, proves something different. Yeah. God so loved that he sent Jesus. God demonstrated his love for us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died. While we were yet sinners, while we were at our worst, while we were alienated, while we were enemies in our own minds, God demonstrated his love for us. So we've all been there. We've all thought that. But it's the gospel of Jesus Christ that changes us, that gives us the true story, that shows God for what he's really like. So again, let's look fully in the eyes of Jesus. Let's look fully at the cross where he bled and died so that we can see the truth about God and recognize that even when we were sinners, he loved us and loves us today and has offered to us his very life.
These questions are the reason that Basic Gospel needs to be on the air, and we appreciate so much those of you who give constantly to make sure that that happens, that we're continue to be here proclaiming the fullness of God's love, grace, and life in our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ. A quick reminder that as you click donate at basicgospel.net this month or use any of the other means of making your January gift, be sure to request your 14-CD series called It's All Yours. It's our gift back to you, our way of saying thank you for your support, for your love, and for your partnership with us here at Basic Gospel. Well, now for Bob Christopher, for Richard Pfeiffer, and all this great ministry team, I'm Bob Davis with your invitation to be back again tomorrow at the same time, same station, for Basic Gospel. We'll see you then. Bye-bye.